Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time by the grace of God. We thank the Lord. We're in our 19th year now bringing these broadcasts to you. And we praise the Lord for his good messages. Praise the Lord for this radio station, for you, the listener, all the prayers and support, the provision. And so we thank the Lord for this day. It's a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Today we're going to be talking about the weapons of our warfare. And this message is coming to you from 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And so if you have your Bible today, turn it to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And we'll start in verse 3 and 4. Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We're going to be talking about weapons of our warfare here in just a minute. But first, I want to give you a brief update what's going on here in Africa. I'm coming to you from Kenya today, and we're having very rainy, cold weather, very unseasonal, very unusual. For this time of year, usually it's very hot and dry, and I think we might be getting some cold air off the Arctic blasts that have come into the northern hemisphere. We're just actually above the equator, about 40 miles, so we are in the same type seasonal patterns that you are here in Kansas. But anyway, it's very unusual for this time of year. We've been getting rain just about every day, drizzly, cold, cool weather. Everybody's grabbing their coats that we don't have to wear very often here in Kenya, but they're grabbing their hoodies and their coats, trying to keep warm as they go about their work here in Kenya. The children are back in school, all of them. We're still entering a few, but most of them are back in school. And the big rush of children going to boarding schools all across the nation, it's pretty much over. And so we are thankful we had the provision to get all of our children in school and get their fees paid, get their books bought, and all that stuff. And one of the issues of ministry here in Kenya, if you have children, none of the schools are free, not even primary schools or junior high schools, everything. There's a fee associated, uniforms to buy, and everything is very expensive because the businesses all take advantage of the parents and the schools take advantage of the parents at this time of year. So pray for provision as we put about 30 children into school every year. And it's a big burden, and take it upon yourself because these children need to be in school. There's a lot of street walking children that aren't in school. We don't want our children to be in that group. We want our children to have a good education so they have a foundation in life and a chance to do well and succeed when they leave the children's home. So today we're going to be talking about the weapons of our warfare, and I'm going to start off in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 3. And this has to do, because last week we talked about dealing with addictions. And if you're out there listening to me today and you have a struggle with addictions, maybe it's not a destructive drugs like meth or fentanyl or cocaine. Maybe it's just addiction of watching too much TV, watching too much Facebook on the internet. And it could be something like gluttony, could be something like drinking, could be something like smoking cigarettes. And of course, drugs also very destructive strongholds that people get engaged in and then they can't get loose from it. Even cigarettes are very, very difficult to get loose from. They become a very big stronghold in a person's life. And so God gives us a plan on dealing with addictions and strongholds in our life. And a stronghold, the definition of that would be a repetitive pattern of iniquity, a repetitive pattern of sin that becomes a big mountain in a person's life, and that's a stronghold. Just like in a military term, a stronghold may be a military fortification, and if you're going to take territory, if you're going to take land from the enemy, you need to deal with that fortification, you need to deal with that stronghold, figure out how you're going to attack it, figure out how you're going to encircle it and take it down, destroy it, so that it doesn't come back to reclaim the territory that it has already been established within. And so strongholds, everybody has them. Everybody I know has them. And I'm sure that many of them could be more easily dealt with if people knew the weapons of their warfare, if they understood the power of the weapons of their warfare. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. So as we look at this scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, this is the Apostle Paul speaking to the baby believers, new Christians in Corinth, in Greece. And he says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh." And then chapter 10, verse 4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal," or not fleshly, "but are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds." We don't look to fleshly weapons. We don't pick up a machete. We don't pick up a gun. Yes, out of violence, out of murder, out of hatred and anger, people do that. But civilized people, people of God, men and women of God, we deal with our enemies, we deal with our strongholds with weapons of warfare that are spiritual in nature. They're not carnal in nature. Now, I'm not talking about warfare on a national level or warfare against enemies of the state. I'm talking about your enemies in your life, the strongholds and the enemies that seek to destroy you, come against you, and tear down the spiritual foundation in your life, try to scheme against you to take you out of your calling, take you out of your destiny. That's the strongholds that we're talking about here. We're not talking about enemies of the state or of the nation. So we have weapons of our warfare, and I'm going to list five of them today. And the five that we have, number one is prayer, number two is Bible study, number three is fellowship of the saints, number four is fasting, and number five is praise. And so those are the five I'm going to list today. There's many others, I'm sure, and you can break those down into more finite detail. But with these, there are five major ones that are the what I call the major weapons of warfare, the pillars of our weaponry, the pillars of our arsenal. And beloved, if you adopt these and practice them on a daily basis in your life, practice them and get serious about dealing with the enemy, you will be victorious. God is greater than whatever enemy you have. Greater is He that is in you than that little he that is in the world. And so if you get serious about adopting these weapons in your life, you are going to be victorious and you will come out successful in dealing with your strongholds. And you may be in a rehabilitation facility. You may be in prison. You may be in jail. I don't know where you're listening to me today, but whatever strongholds you have currently going on in your life, you can start today dealing with them. Whatever program you're on to deal with strongholds, deal with addictions, you can start with these that I give you, add them to whatever program you're on, and you are going to be successful. If you're not on any kind of a program, if you're just living your life and you're dealing with, say, gluttony or alcohol or whatever, all kinds of strongholds tear people down, and whatever you're dealing with, God is able to see you be a conqueror. God is able to see you come out victorious. So the first one we're going to talk about is prayer. And of course, we all have somewhat of a prayer life, I would say. Most people do, even people that don't really believe in God. When things get really tough, when they get really sick, or a big emergency happens in their life, those people pray. They don't pray with confidence. They don't pray with an idea that they're actually going to receive the answer to the prayer. But prayer is a big, big subject. Basically, what prayer is positioning yourself before God. Positioning yourself make your request known, and you could say that God even knows before we speak what we desire, what our requests are going to be. And that begs the question, well, why bother to pray if God already knows what we need and what we're going to ask for? The reason is because prayer positions us before God. Prayer puts us in a place where we acknowledge that God is sovereign over our life. Prayer puts us in a place where we acknowledge that we have to humble ourselves, that we are dependent on God, that we're not able to take care of our own problems. We're not able to move the mountains out of our life. We're not able on our own to deal with the strongholds. We're not able to deal with the financial situations that come into our life or the situations that are raising children bring into our life. And so prayer positions us before God. There's many ways to pray, and there's many avenues to get to God, to have God reveal himself to us and to become more intimate in your walk with God. But the primary way, I would say, is prayer. And so you need to get serious about your prayer life, adopt a prayer protocol in your life, a certain time to pray, a certain place to pray. And this teaching about prayer is going to be just a cursory or a very simplistic teaching about prayer. It's very deep. And as you can imagine, after many years of missionary work, after many years of being a pastor and a leader in the church, prayer is extremely important to me. It's important to the ministry. It's important to my own personal spiritual walk. And so that is God's plan for you as well. Well, Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. That's the whole scripture. Pray without ceasing. What did he mean by that? Does it mean we just have to stay in and locate in a cave and never leave, be a monk and never leave, just pray all the time in an isolated place? No, you can pray as you're going down the road driving your car. You can pray as you're walking. You can pray early in the morning when you get up and you're studying your Bible and thinking about the things that you're going to be doing each day. You can pray at night before you go to bed. I have a prayer time in the morning when I do some Bible study. I also have a prayer time in the evening before I go to bed. I also have a prayer time usually around 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I have a time when I study the Bible also later in the day after I get home from my day's work and spend time with the Lord. And so pray without ceasing. Paul is saying whenever you have an opportunity to pray, pray. And that is just a reminder that God is for us. He's with us. The Holy Spirit abides in us. And so when you pray, you're constantly reminded that you are dependent on God, that He will give you direction in every decision that you make in your life. He'll give you direction. And so when you pray, you're positioning yourself as a place of dependency. You're exalting God and you're praising Him for who He is, what He is, and His place in your life. Well, James 5, chapter 5, verse 13 through 16 is a very important scripture. And this is James, the half-brother of Jesus, speaking. He says in verse 13, is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. And so if you're suffering, if you have burdens, which just about everybody does at one point in their life, some people have burdens all the time. They're in state of despair, they're in a state of depression, they're in a state of anxiety and just can't seem to find any joy, can't seem to get over the hump and get over the mountains in their life. Spend more time in prayer, spend more time in Bible study, but especially in prayer. Just start talking to God just like you would your own children, just like you would your own earthly father, your own earthly mother. Start talking to God. So if you are suffering, then as you pray, you start to relieve that burden. God starts to take that burden off of you. The Holy Spirit starts to give you answers to your anxiety. The Holy Spirit starts to give you understanding of the issues in your life, understanding of the problems in your life. And so if any of you is suffering, pray. If any of you is cheerful, let him sing psalms. And so rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice. We'll talk about praise later on as a pillar of our warfare. And so sing psalms, sing songs of joy. And I play the guitar. Some of you I know play instruments. But even if you don't, you have the most beautiful instrument, the human voice. And so you can sing, put on some worship music, fill your house up with good music, fill your house up. The demons will flee. Anoint your house with oil, anointing oil. Get some anointing oil or even olive oil that you buy in the grocery store will work. Anoint over the doors, anoint over the windows, anoint over every opening in your house, anoint over your garage where your car is, anoint your doors of your car, and sing psalms, fill up the house with praise and worship music, watch the demons flee. Then in verse 4,